So now it's time to start prepping the next season, season six. Once again, significant things happen in insignificant places. Greg Daniels gives me a script. It wasn't the first script of the season. It was like the fourth episode of season six. It's the wedding. Pam and Jim decide that they've got to get married. They want to be married before the baby's born. And so in the storyline, well, during the summer, Greg had taken his family on a vacation and they'd gone up to Niagara Falls. And Greg decided that he wanted Jim and Pam to get married in Niagara Falls. Initially, his idea, it shifted for a variety of reasons, but it shifted. Initially, his idea was to shoot on the Canadian side because the Canadian side is like Coney Island. There's like all these vendors and crap, Ripley's museums and wax museums, and it's all tacky. The Toronto side is really tacky, and he wanted Jim and Pam to have their he wanted them to take a honeymoon cruise on the Maid of the Mist, and he decided that they would get married in a church, but then they would take this honeymoon cruise on the Maid of the Mist. And his idea was that this beautiful love story would be set against the tackiness of Niagara Falls and all. So I get the outline of the script. Once again, it's a Paul Feig episode. He's going to direct it. They gave him the hardest ones because they trusted him and they loved him. And in the storyline, Jim and Pam, they know that Michael's going to, oh, the reason they chose Niagara Falls was they thought it was far enough away from Scranton that Michael Scott wouldn't show up and ruin their wedding. But then Michael decides to give the whole office the week off so that everybody can go up and go to the wedding.
It's all coming back, yeah.
Okay. Well, in the storyline, I get the story, I get the outline. They want to bring back Roy, Pam's original boyfriend. And Roy, this character, David Denman, was the actor. David Denman, he shows up at the wedding. He believes that the whole wedding is a fake, that Pam has been in love with him all this time, and that she's been faking the wedding, right? Or faking the wedding plans just as a ploy to get him back. And he's going to make a grand gesture. So in the middle of the church wedding, the doors fly open and Roy rides in on a white horse and scoops up Pam, and they ride off happily ever after. But when he gets there, he sees that Pam is pregnant and that she really does love Jim and that he's a big dumb doofus for doing this, right? And he turns the horse around and he slinks out and he's embarrassed. And so, I'm like, okay, I got to find a church that has a big enough set of doors to get a white horse and a guy through the door. What church? And your mind starts working, how do you do this? And then out on the curb after the wedding, Roy is sitting dejectedly on the curb with the horse. He's just been the biggest dumb fuck in the world. And well, Dwight walks up. And Dwight, remember, he's the farmer, he knows horses and all
Oh,
that.
yeah.
He's like, tough luck, buddy. It didn't quite work out like you thought it was going to, did it? And Dwight says to Roy, what are you going to do to the horse? And he goes, oh, I got to get it back to the rental stables. And Dwight says, I'll take care of that for you. You've had enough embarrassment today. I'll take the horse back to the stables for you. So I'm reading the, you know, the outline that I've been given by Greg Daniels. And in the storyline, Dwight rides the horse along the banks of the Niagara River and Schrutes are inexplicably drawn to whitewater. And he rides the horse into the river. Now, subsequently, Jim and Pam go to the Maid of the Mist boat, and they're taking their honeymoon cruise on the Maid of the Mist. And they're on the bow of the ship, and they're having a romantic moment. They've just had their lovely wedding, and it went well, and Michael didn't ruin it for them. And they're about to kiss. Well, in the river, Dwight realizes that the river is going faster and faster and faster, and we're getting to the brink of the waterfall, and there was a description of the horse showing fear in its eyes, and Dwight bails off the horse, and we cut back to Jim and Pam, and behind them, against the facade of the waterfall, you see a white horse tumbling over the waterfall.
Oh my God. How on earth? How do you do that?
Yeah. You tell me. So I get this. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. First of all, I told you we shoot the show on crappy Sony 900s with no color latitude, and you're going to shoot the biggest white curtain on planet Earth with a white horse tumbling against a white curtain, and you're going to want to see human faces in the foreground? You know, I just knew technically this was going to be, and you know what? How do we do this? Well, it's gotta be CGI. It's gotta be done with, you know. And by the way, CGI. We're going back only 10, 11 years ago, but it wasn't as sophisticated as it is now. Even
right.
You know, CGI has really come a long way. But sure. So I got our effects. Now, here's the other thing. The Maid of the Mist is a Canadian corporation.
Mm-hmm.
They have two boats. One, they both start on Canadian soil, and one travels over to the American side every day, and they load them up with tourists, and they do this all day long. One boat will go up to the spray of the waterfall, turn around, come back. The other boat, it's now loaded with passengers, it goes up all day long. This is this A-B pattern, you know, of these two boats that go back and forth.
Sure.
So I'm getting involved. So I call I start these calls. I've got several months to prep this, thankfully. And as I said, Greg wanted to shoot on the Canadian side.
Right.
Well, there's problems there. When you take an American film crew to Canada, first of all, the first thing they do is they embargo all your equipment for 14 days. They put it in dry dock in a storage, and they go through it all. Canadian Customs goes through all your stuff, and you can't touch it or see it for 2 weeks. Well, you know, it was a whole cameras, costumes, props, everything we needed for the Maid of the Mist scene, you know, and then the other issue is, if you try to bring an American crew onto Canadian soil, there's this thing called one-on-one staffing. The Canadian government makes you hire a Canadian crew person for every American you bring on Canadian soil, so that nobody loses employment because Americans are taking their jobs.
Right.
And
sure.
Ultimately this became very unwieldy, and the studio put their foot down. Fortunately, not me. They told Greg Daniels, no, you can't shoot in Canada. You got to shoot this one on the American side.
Right.
And he said, okay, that's fine. I understand. We're giving up that tackiness, because the American side is a state park, and right. it's actually pretty nice. It's, it's under the control of the New York State Parks Association, which right. is ultimately under the control of the governor's office, the New York governor's office. And so to shoot on the Maid of the Mist, so we gave up shooting in Canada. We decided uh-huh. we will shoot on the American side. But I had to get approval. Once again, the boat is a Canadian corporation, and it traverses international waters. So I had to write a proposal to the nation of Canada and to the Maid of the Mist Corporation and the International Shipping Commission and the State of New York Governor's Office. And Greg is a secretive guy. He didn't want any of this to ever get out about the horse. He wanted that to be a surprise to the audience and an Easter egg that would only appear, on the airing of the show.
Right.
And so I wasn't allowed to share scripts, but the New York governor's office, they won't give you approval unless they see a script.
Right.
And so I had to get them to commit to secrecy, that they wouldn't share this with anybody in the press or anybody. I'm asking basically.
And they're seeing the script, yeah.
Yeah, I'm asking the New York governor, okay, I'm going to send you a script, but you can't do anything with it. You hear me? And then I had to interact with the city of Buffalo, because the equipment was going to arrive at Buffalo, but then it traverses out of Buffalo to the township of Niagara Falls.
Right.
So that's across jurisdiction. And then it traverses into the state park, which is a completely separate jurisdiction. So I was writing proposals like for months, and then the head of the Maid of the Mist Corporation said no. He had been burned by a movie called Bruce Almighty.
Yeah.
They had shot that in Niagara Falls, and the producer turned out to be an asshole, and he promised one thing and he did something else. And so he had burned the Maid of the Mist. They were pissed off. They didn't want anything to do with Hollywood. They didn't want any filming. But I got a hold of their public relations guy.
Right.
And I said, hey, I need you to take a look at this. Do you know what the office is? And this guy was so sweet. He said, dude, I've got teenage daughters that hate me. We are constantly fighting. They don't like me as an authority figure, but the one thing we bond over is every Thursday night watch Office. It's my favorite show on earth. I love it. I will do anything to try to make this work. And I said, well, your boss has said no to me. He said, absolutely not. And he said, please, is there anything you can do? And he goes back to the boss. And he calls me back in a couple of days, and he's like, hey, I got your tentative approval, but there are stipulations. You can't charter a boat. We will allow you on the boat with a finite number of your crew and your cast, but it's a public boat, and people come from all over the planet to ride our boat and go get wet in Niagara Falls.
Right.
And so we're going to fill up the boat with tourists. You're going to have actual living tourists. You can't own the boat, and you can't do anything different than what we do. This is all rules by the CEO. He'll let you do this because I pulled strings and I twisted his arm on your behalf, but you got to play the game. And I was like, okay, so I'm, reporting all this back to Greg Daniels and, okay, now how are we going to do the fucking horse gag? So I get our visual effects team, and they were pretty good. I hired the people that did water effects for the Titanic.
Sure.
They were quite good. you know, they were very worried about the white waterfall and the white horse. And the first thing they asked me was, will you shoot this on something else? Can you shoot this on something other than a Sony 900?
Right.
And, you know, once again, I was hesitant, but I understood the limitations and okay, yes, that for this one shot, we could probably do that. Let's think about that. And I'm talking to Randall Einhorn again about this. And so the plan became, all right, we need elements. A digital element is something that you shoot and then you insert it into a background,
right?
And so the background is going to be the waterfall. The element is going to be a tumbling horse,
right?
And we also needed the horse in the river. We needed the horse in Whitewater, you know, where Dwight bails off. Well, Rainn Wilson is not a stunt-friendly guy. He's a real scaredy cat. And he doesn't like horses. You know, he hates horses. And he feels that horses hate him. That they smell his fear. Actors are weird, and you know, a lot of weird, you know, things come out when you. So, but we up at Universal Studios, there are these big lakes called tanks, and one of them has a big green screen that's built behind it, so you can do visual effects scenes in the water, and it's only about 8 feet deep. But here's the next thing I learned. The trained white horses in Hollywood don't like water. Horses don't like to run into water. Horses, as a rule, don't like to go anywhere where they can't see their feet. You know, they're, you know, and so a white horse has to be trained to go in the water. And so I had to put the horses on a retainer, and the wranglers, we had to start them like, you know, 2 months early, and they had to be practiced. So
keep them out of the water. Yeah.
Oh yeah, my God. And it's going to be rushing white water. So special effects, I'm working with the special effects crew, and they've got a plan. They're going to chain 5 or 6 jet skis to the shore of the tank.
Uh-huh.
And churn up the water with the with the output of the jet ski. That's how we're gonna make white water in the tank, right? Okay. And then we gotta ride this horse in. So I gotta hire all these guys for, you know, weeks in advance and practice with the horse and all. And then we've got to get Rainn. We need Rainn to bail off the horse. We can't put a fake Rainn. We can't put Rainn's face on a stuntman.
Right.
Our technology wasn't that sophisticated in that, you know. And so I've got to get Rainn to start practicing with this. He's scared. He's timid. He doesn't want to do it. And then we need the element of the tumbling horse.
Yeah.
So now we've got this plan of taking a white horse, not the same horse that goes in the water. No, we got to use a different horse, a horse that used to be hung in a harness. So we were going to take a construction crane and lift a horse off of the ground in front of a green screen. And then we were going to put the camera on a gimbal and shoot the horse in all different attitudes so that we could, you know, spin it. all of this is fucking huge, as you can imagine. The episode itself was big to start with because they brought back a lot of established actors that, like David Denman and other actors. For the wedding, they brought back people that they had established in the series. So we had a ton of extra guest cast, and we had a ton of extras, and there was a dance number. We had a choreographer involved, and we're going to Niagara Falls. So I prepared. Now, one of the things in episodic TV, you have a episodic budget. It's called a pattern. You have a pattern budget that is established at the start of the season. So like 22 episodes. By the time, you know, we were up to like $3 million an episode for a half hour of The Office. So 22 episodes, they give you, you know, whatever that is, $66 million to shoot the season.
Right.
And you divide that into 22 episodes. And so your pattern budget has to fit. Now you can rob from one episode and to pay another episode. So if one episode is kind of skinny and one is fat, you can have a smaller budget for one and a bigger budget for another. So I had been doing this. I had been planning for this, and I knew that Niagara Falls episode was going to be huge. And we were going to have to pay airfare and take Jim and Pam back to Niagara Falls and a camera crew. And we were going to, all of that hoo-ha. And the pattern, the budget for this episode was going to be $1 million over pattern. And the Niagara Falls part of the shoot was, with all that special effects and everything, that was about $500,000 with all the CGI and all the airfare and everything.
Sure.
And so early on, we encountered a roadblock. We found out that David Denman was shooting a movie in New Orleans, and they had him in what's called first position, and they didn't want to give him up. And we had a very specific window of when we needed to shoot this. It was going to be in August of that year, because Niagara Falls being in a northern latitude, they start getting frost by the end of August, basically, by the 1st of September. And they shut the boats down. So we had to shoot this before September. So our window was like the last 2 weeks of August, and David did the movie company. I was on the phone with New Orleans to the movie company, and they were like, nope, you're not going to get him. You know, he's not free until October.
Right.
And so we got Universal Legal involved. We got lawyers involved to try to spring him. Nope, 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 nope. Can't have him. He's ours. And so I had to go to Greg Daniels and say, you know, I'm sorry, but, this is not going to work. And that happened simultaneous with our table reading. You know, a couple of weeks before you shoot the show, you sit down with all the actors and you read through the script.
Right.
Well, prior to that, I had taken a scout. I had taken Paul Feig, director, the assistant director, Kelly Cantley, Randall Einhorn, our production designer, Michael Gallenberg, and myself. We went back to Niagara Falls for a quick trip to scout and to ride the Maid of the Mist boat and see what we were facing. And we shot some sample video of this and on a little handheld camcorder we had. And I had hired a location manager back in Niagara Falls to work with me. And she was very good. She was like a local producer back there. And she helped me line up some local people for this and all. And we had transportation. It's New York jurisdiction. You got Teamsters involved. You got to hire them. They come out of New York City. You got to pay them a driving day and hotel and per diem. And it's all about feathering their pockets. And so we went back and we had this scout and we saw what we were up against. And I also took the visual effects people, the Titanic people with us because they were going to have to do all this. And they started building a mock-up of what they thought kind of a storyboard mock-up of this and how it was going to be done. Okay, so we're finding out these problems that this is going to be really, really tough, a white horse over a white waterfall. And but wait a second, we don't have David Denman. How are we going to shoot this? And then we have the table read. And I'm going nuts because the studio has now said no to my $1 million budget. They've said, you can't have that much. And another trick that a producer will play is to inflate the budget because the studio is always going to say no to your first pass. And it's kind of like going to dad when you need money for a date. You know, dad, I'm taking my gal out for dinner and a movie, I need $25, you know, $25. Oh, hell no. You can have 15. Well, I really only wanted 10.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of how a producer budgets. You inflate everything and hope that, you know, I inflated it hoping that I could get 800,000 out of the deal.
Right.
You know, and that maybe, okay, say we go over a little bit, you know, it's a big episode. It'll all work out and hopefully they don't fire me.
Right.
So the studio had said no to my $1 million. And the one thing that came back was, you can't take Jim and Pam to Niagara Falls. You got to shoot them here on your green screen. And you can take a second unit crew back there to shoot the boat, but you can't take the reelies. We don't want to spend the money for airfare and travel right. and hotels and all that. And I knew that was going to look shitty. I knew that would look fake. And right. I thought, above all, I have to protect taking the real Jim and Pam to Niagara Falls. I have to figure that out.
Right.
And this is where the creative producer, you know, the two sides of a producer, creative and money. This uh-huh. is where the creative side comes into play. I can't allow this to look shitty just so that we save money. That's right. That's a dumb idea. We can't do that.
Right.
So I needed to protect some money. I had to get the real Jim and Pam to Niagara Falls. I just knew that. Okay, so I've got all these problems. They're building. We're like 2 weeks away from shooting the episode, and then the following week is when we're going to go to Niagara Falls, and we're slowly marching forward. The timeline is getting tighter, and everything's, you know, starting to get crunched and
right.
worrisome. I'm losing sleep. I'm losing yep. hair, and we have the table read. Now, Steve Carell was a producer on the show. By that era, Steve had gotten a producer credit, and he was allowed to have say over the writing. He was allowed to, after the table read, to stay and give his personal notes on the script. That's how much they trusted him and loved him.
Sure.
And by the way, I will say this unequivocally, Steve Carell is the best and nicest actor I have ever worked with.
Wow.
Jenna Elfman is another one. Those two, I've worked with some good, some bad, and some real ugly. And Steve Carell, man, if he asked me to crawl through broken glass to come do something for him, I would. He's a lovely, wonderful, dear professional, doesn't give anybody any trouble, shows up on time, knows his lines, wants to do his work, and wants to go home. You know, he's just a total pro. And so, okay, we have the table read. Laugh, laugh, laugh. We get to the scene where the horse goes over the waterfall, and it's, oh my God, that's funny. That's so funny. Now, I told you Greg had produced King of the Hill.
Yeah.
And also he had been a writer on The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
And this was truly a cartoon joke.
Yeah.
This was truly, the horse over the waterfall was something you'd see on The Simpsons.
Like a Simpsons moment, doesn't it?
Yeah. It is. It's a cartoon joke. It's not a live action joke.
Huh.
And but once again, I'm not allowed to judge. I have to just budget the thing. And I don't want to have the showdown with Greg Daniels yet, that they won't let us spend the money on this, and they don't want Jim and Pam to go to Niagara Falls. He
right.
doesn't know any of that yet.
Right.
We go into the table read. We have the table read. Afterwards, the network executives, they give a few notes. Oh, I love it. It's so funny. It's so great. I can't wait to see it. You know. And then they disappear. And now it's just the writers, Steve Carell, and me. And I hide in the corner. I always put myself in a chair where I'm not in Greg Daniels' eye line, because I don't want him to turn to me and say, you know, can we afford this? I try to, you know, fade into the wall and just I'm just listening. Right?
Sure.
And all of my departments are in on my problem here. Everybody knows what a crazy idea this is and how ridiculously difficult this is. And by the way, I told you, we weren't that good at CGI. I needed Peter Jackson to come in and use his, you know, Lord of the Rings team. You know, this is like having Treebeard walk through the forest.
Right.
You know, I needed, you know, a crew that is used to painting in 3,000 orcs in a battlefield.
Right.
I just wasn't convinced that we were ever going to make this look good.
Right.
I thought it was going to look shitty, and I don't want to be responsible for shitty,
right.
You know? And so we have, you know, now it's time for Steve Carell's notes, and everybody, all the writers are, you know, what does Steve say? You know, does Steve love it? We want Steve to love it.
Right.
And Steve goes, Greg, we're not sending the horse over the waterfall. And Greg's like, what? It's so funny. And Steve goes, Greg, that is truly a joke out of The Simpsons. That is a cartoon joke. That is not The Office. He said, think about it, man. You know, you got this lovely, lovely setup of Jim and Pam on the bow of the boat. They're having their kiss and all. And you got this horse going over the waterfall. He said, nobody's going to be thinking about the moment. They're going to be thinking about the horse. And it's just not our show. We don't do that sort of thing. It's not grounded in any reality whatsoever. And he said, Greg, I love you. I trust you. I don't like to say no to you, but this is not an episode that I will participate in. It's not, it's just not. And Greg and Mindy, had co-written the two-parter.
Uh-huh.
And they both kind of made a feeble defense,
uh-huh.
But it's funny. And, you know, but Greg, in the back of his mind, Greg knew we didn't have David Denman.
Right.
I'd already told him that part. And
right.
So there was already that hurdle that we didn't know how to jump yet,
right.
You know? And so they were like, but it's funny. And Steve wouldn't budge. Steve said, Greg, it would be funny on The Simpsons. It's not funny on The Office. It's not an Office joke. He said, I don't believe, we don't do CGI jokes. You know, this is a show about people. It's a show about real people in real situations.
Wow.
And that's always been how we've grounded this comedy. We play our show as if it's the most serious drama ever, that these are life and death situations to these people, but they're absurd. And he said, I don't want to see a horse going over a waterfall. I want to see what happens between Jim and Pam. And they couldn't argue with him. He was right. And I, in my little corner back there, is going, yes, yes. And I'm texting my department, ding dong, the horse is dead, ding dong, the horse is dead. And and so I get out of that meeting and I get a call from the studio, and the studio says, you can't have $1 million. You know, you can have 600,000.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And in my head, I'm going, if the horse is gone, that's plenty. That's all. That's more than we need, Dad. You know, I can go on this date. You know, I can take Jim and Pam to Niagara Falls.
What an amazing story. Oh, my God.
Okay. So Steve says, you know, I really love you guys. I know how hard you work. I know what great comedy you guys come up with. And I know there's an alternative storyline that we can do that's equally valid. And, you know, God bless you all. I love you. I'm going to take my leave now and leave you guys to work. And so I hung out for another 15, 20 minutes, and they started noodling ideas. And I know there's going to be a big rewrite, but there's not a horse going over the waterfall, and it solves our David Denman problem if he doesn't have to show up,
right?
And Greg brings that up because I'd already told him that. He brings it up in the writer's room. Well, you know, we never were going to, it looked like we weren't going to get David Denman anyway. So,
right.
You know, the whole gag was in danger. So he said, that solves our problem. And so I quietly snuck out the back and I go to work and I can call, you know, special effects and tell them, you know, we're not sending the horse over the waterfall. Looks like maybe we don't need the horse in the water. Maybe we don't need the jet skis. Maybe we can stop the horse training sessions.
Wow.
But I'm still excited that I can take Jim and Pam to Niagara Falls. You know, that's what I wanted all along. I wanted real people in front of a real waterfall.
Yeah.
And so later that afternoon, Greg Daniels and Paul Lieberstein come to my office. And they like, okay, we've got a new storyline. This is the storyline we're breaking. We're not going to do the horse. Oh, okay. You know, oh, darn. And he said, okay, so here's our new storyline. They got married that morning on the Maid of the Mist. It's not a honeymoon cruise. They got up early and they went and rode the Maid of the Mist and they had the ship's captain marry them. And now they go to their church wedding, which they know Steve is going to, you know, Michael Scott is going to somehow screw up their wedding. He's going to take it over and embarrass them. But they're bulletproof because they already got married and we'll show it in flashback. We'll show it like the church wedding is happening, but really in flashback we will learn that they already got married that morning by the captain of the ship. And I'm like, okay, I get that. That's pretty cool. I like that. And then they drop the bombshell. And Randy, we'd like you to play the ship's captain. We want you to marry Jim and Pam.
Yeah.
And so I did. I got to take John Krasinski and Jenna Fisher to Niagara Falls with Paul Feig. And we shot that shot on film.
Yeah.
We took a film camera because film had better color latitude than our digital cameras. So that's the answer to a trivia question. Did any shot in the history of The Office ever not be shot on the Sony 900s? Yes, it did. The sequence on the Maid of the Mist.